Yo, welcome to Simply Bitcoin Live. We're your source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution, the curve-breaking news culture, Matic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. Crazy news coming out of El Salvador, some footage that the government made. We'll talk about that. We'll get into the statistics of, you know, the record GDP growth, the decrease in crime. Is it the Bitcoin effect? I know you guys know what I'm talking about. Once you adopt, I'm going to borrow CK's words, a new operating system, perhaps your perception of the world changes a little bit. So we're going to explore all of that. Speaking of CK, we have CK himself on the show today. How you doing, bro?
Yo, what's up, my man? My audio just like freaked out on me, so I don't know what's up with that.
You're coming in loud and clear. And of course, my legendary co-host, always optimistic.
What's up, Opti?
What's up, CK? How you doing? Well, what's up, everyone? I'm excited for this one. I'm really more excited again on Nico's takes. I love just sitting here. I'm on the stream with Nico Jones every day, and so I'm just sitting here enjoying it like you guys. But of course, we got CK in the building, so we're going to talk Bitcoin conference again today. Hopefully we can get some new leaks out here from CK himself, but we'll wait for that one. We'll wait.
Anyways, everybody, let's start the show. I'm really excited. Let's do this.
The Bitcoin numbers
brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse, because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today.
All right, guys, let me tell you about the Bitcoin 2023 conference hosted in sunny Miami Beach, Florida. It's May 18th through the 20th. You don't want to miss it. And you can take advantage of the promo code simply to get a big discount on your tickets. Also want to give a shout out to some of the speakers. We have Michael Lewis. He is the author, and I'm sure you guys have seen some of these movies: Moneyball, The Blind Side, Arthur Hayes, Michael Saylor, Jack Maulers, Casey, he's the creator of Ordinals, Alex Gladstein, Stacey Herbert, Greg Foss, Preston Pish, Odell, and many, many more. You don't want to miss the biggest Bitcoin conference on planet Earth, Bitcoin 2023. Anyways, at the time of recording, the Bitcoin price is $23,490. Sats per dollar, 4,257. Block height, 778,682. Reachable Bitcoin nodes, 16,258. Blocks to the halving, 61,318. Halving estimate, April 22nd, 2024. Total Lightning Network capacity, 5,409 Bitcoin. Capacity value, $127 million. And my favorite statistic of all of these, because it embarrasses fiat currencies: realized monetary inflation, 1.76%, and the market capitalization of Bitcoin, $453 billion. One of my most favorite things to do is talk to CK about why people are not bullish enough. And I pulled up a great tweet to build the conversation on. It says, "I'm really bullish and excited about everything in Bitcoin. Bitcoin is happening. It won't always happen in your ways you want or anticipate. Enjoy the ride and expect the unexpected." So CK, why aren't we bullish enough? What are you bullish about, and what are you most excited about what's going on in Bitcoin nowadays?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, we remember, I think 4 or 5 months ago, we were hanging out in the Titans box, the Bitcoin Magazine Titans box, and I was like preaching to you why no one is bullish enough. But the reality is that, you know, in that moment, did you expect that Bitcoiners will build an uncensorable social media site that would catch fire? Did you expect that some random dev by the name of Casey Rodemore would open up a brand new paradigm that would change the economic incentives within Bitcoin blocks? Both of those things, we had absolutely no idea were right around the corner in 2023. And lo and behold, here we are catching up again. None of us expected it. We might like or dislike it, but guess what? None of us were smart enough to think through like that this was happening. So this is just the beginning. It's only going to increase exponentially because Bitcoin is exponential by nature. And yeah, I mean, none of us are smart enough to be bullish enough, truly.
I love that. None of us are smart enough to be bullish enough. I agree. I mean, and perhaps it's because people get lost in the everyday kind of Bitcoin roller coaster ride. But I think if you zoom out, it really paints a good picture. I love Pete Russo's tweets, for example. You know, he posts some of the screenshots from people selling, like, hey man, I sold my Bitcoin, you know, $2 is a good price, I got in at 10 cents, you know. And you read that today and you throw up a little bit in your mouth and like, why did I do that? Anyways, Opti, why don't you chime in here, bro?
Well, you guys know me. I stay bull-tarded AF. So I realize that I'm not even bullish enough. And I was talking with Nico about this. I read a Svetsky's article that you guys posted on Bitcoin Mag yesterday. I forget the title, but it was something about like the three generations of Bitcoin and how long this thing is going to actually play out. And I was sitting there thinking, I'm like, man, you know, we are really only 15 years into this experiment, and we're going to be doing this for the rest of our lives. Even Nico kind of was asking me the other day, like, yo, what are we going to do in like 5 years when Bitcoin wins? And I'm like, yo, we're still going to be talking about Bitcoin. Like, I know we get stupidly bullish on this show, but it really is going to be like a lifetime fight for us. And just to understand that, like, yo, we are going to be in Bitcoin for the rest of our lives. It's hard not to stay bullish, you know, not only on just the price, but what Bitcoin will do to society and everyone's lives. And it's like, we really can't zoom out enough and understand exactly how Bitcoin will change our world. Because like CK said, we have no idea what's coming down the pipeline. Like, I can't wait for, you know, there's kids right now that have been in a world of only Bitcoin. And just to think that these people, these kids right now, you know, they're 15 years old, 14 years old. Just wait in 5 years when they're like being entrepreneurs and they're creating stuff on Bitcoin that we could have never imagined, because we're old and crusty and we are still thinking inside the Bitcoin box because we're first generation Bitcoiners. Like, we really have no idea how big this is going to explode. And it's going to change everything about the world we live in. And, you know, what have we seen with the internet? It's changed everything about our world, and we still are seeing new things coming down the pipeline that are blowing our minds. So, like, if you're not bullish on Bitcoin, I don't know what you need to do. Either you need to unplug a little bit, you need to go down the rabbit hole more, or you need to listen to CK more and just tell you, hey, you need to make it over the finish line with the sats that you have right now, because it's going to be a long, long game. And, man, I'm just stupidly excited. This is why I am Optimus Fields for a reason. Like, the world's getting better, guys, in real time.
In real time. Soon, amen.
Go ahead, I just want to say that when I first met Opti, I think it was like 2018 or 2019 on Twitter, I knew that this guy got it because he was like, hey, I'm not that smart, but I'm fucking bullish. I'm Optimus, baby. So,
exactly.
You know, I was like, you know, this guy is smarter than he thinks. And I think he's smarter than most of us.
Oh, man.
I don't know about that.
Oh, man. Okay. So, CK, one of the things that you told me that was very impactful to my life, I never forget it. It's like, most people will not have as much sats as they do right now. You know, so could you talk a little bit about that? Because I think it is some very powerful advice that I think a lot of people, you know, lose their sense of how valuable, you know, Bitcoin is going to be in the future.
Yeah, well, you know, you brought up those screenshots that Pete Rizzo likes to post, but, you know, people back then were tweeting about how they had, you know, X amount of Bitcoin and they sold it at $2 or whatever it is. And guess what? They have way less sats today than they did back then. So I think we're still in that paradigm. There is this thing called the S curve of adoption. We're at the very bottom part of the S. And the key is to get any amount of sats from the bottom to the top. Like, that's the key. So if you can hodl, if you can survive the wild ride that is Clown World, and as Bitcoin interacts with and tries to smash Clown World and rewrite and redefine how human beings interact on the planet, any amount of sats on the bottom of the S is going to be crazy. Absolutely crazy on the top of the S, and we can dive into that. But the thing is like saying that, you know, some Bitcoiners or many Bitcoiners have peaked in their SAT count. Like, yeah, that sounds kind of crazy to the HODL DCA army that, you know, is really in charge of Bitcoin culture right now. But, you know, if you zoom out and you kind of think of the long trajectory of this thing, you know, we are much closer to dude who sold Bitcoin at $2 than we are to 37 sats equal generational wealth, which I think is the long game here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think sometimes it people, I think it's an element of just human nature. It's an element of, you know, this is, you know, what I forget whose tweet it was, but it really resonated with me. Bitcoin is not a get rich quick scheme. You know, it takes time. It takes, you know, perseverance, right?
Jameson Lopp.
Yes, it was Jameson Lopp.
It's a not get poor slowly scheme.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I think that perfectly summarizes it. And, you know, HODL, it sounds easy. In fact, like if you describe it, you would say it is easy. But I think psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, it changes you in this journey that you go through, that all Bitcoiners go through. But as time goes on, and I'm going to borrow from NVK's handle because I think it describes it perfectly, it's deterministic optimism. You know, it does get easier. It's crazy what happens when you change your operating system, when your purchasing power increases over time versus decreases.
Yeah, and can I just say that, you know, this is going to be a difficult and wild journey. I really do think that Bitcoin is a mental operating system. So us who already have, you know, transitioned to that mental operating system, we have to be pretty empathetic to those who are still on fiat. And then lastly, you know, like it is just wild to try to think through what the future looks like when you recognize that we live in the monetary dark ages. Like we live in the equivalent of like, you know, medieval Europe, and we're asking peasants and plebs to be like, hey, what's the world going to be like when we have electricity? Like that is the equivalent to what we're doing when it comes to value transfer and value measurements. That's how big of an upgrade Bitcoin is. So, you know, it's hard. It's really not easy to project this stuff moving forward. But, you know, imagine a world where, you know, the monetary system is known, verifiable, and P2P. And that's something that is very, very hard to imagine. And the last thing I'll say before handing the mic back over, HODLing is simple. You know, this show is called Simply Bitcoin, but simple does not mean easy. Just like sticking to Simply Bitcoin is not easy. There are so many distractions out there. There's so many vices out there. There's so many get rich quick fiat denominated schemes out there. Simple does not equal easy.
100%. Simple does not equal easy. CK always spitting the facts. Anyways, everybody, let's get to news. We have talk about El Salvador today. Some interesting footage, interesting news. Let's try to break it down. I'm very curious. Let me know what you guys think in the chat, of course. Anyways, let's do this.
The Daily News.
Brought to you by Blockstream Jade, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air gapped Bitcoin transactions. Scan and display QR codes directly on the device to sign transactions and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as the Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, and Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin. All right, everybody. So, the Guardian article. Couple things, right? We're going to try to be as neutral as humanly possible. Obviously, we all know we have a Bitcoin bias. That being said. So, there's two opposing narratives right now. There are the narrative of El Salvador. Everyone agrees El Salvador is cracking down on gangs, right? We're actually going to play you a very powerful video that was produced by the El Salvadorian government to emphasize that they're putting a lot of, you know, these gang members in jail. Really crazy, the method that they, you know, it's better to play the video of me describing it. But there's two narratives right now. The narrative number one is, you know, this is a violation of human rights. a lot of innocent people are getting jailed up. And the other narrative is this is very effective. It has dramatically decreased the murder rate, the crime rate. And also there's record GDP growth in El Salvador. So we're not going to, you know, put our opinion about, you know, what we think of this. We're just going to report the news and then we'll kind of go around the horn to see what everyone else thinks. Anyways, let's play the video. It's pretty long. It's 3 minutes, but, you know, we'll play probably 2 minutes of it and then we'll get to the article. Get the point. Taking a lot of people, you know, so-called, you know, alleged gang members, you know, putting them all in the same clothing, not even any shirts, handcuffing, hands behind their back, they can't even get up, and then they rush them into a bus and then they transfer them into a huge prison. So let's get the corporate media's view on this. Obviously we all know how they feel about El Salvador. We all know how they feel about Bitcoin. Right, so they obviously have a bias. Anyways, goes on to say, war on gangs by populist leader Nayib Bukele has produced extraordinary change. But, quote, the cure could be as harmful as the disease. Quote, they've completely vanished, she said, of the street gangs who for years ruled the area with an iron fist. Nearby walls, once splattered with the black insignia of the community's crime boss, has been painted white by the government to symbolize a new era of peace. Even staunch government critics such as the trailblazing news outlet El Faro stated that Bukele's crackdown, which has seen more than 64,000 people jailed and dramatically slashed the murder rate, has produced extraordinary change for Salvadorians, albeit a huge cost for democracy and human rights. And again, that's the narrative, right? Is, you know, it's brought stability, it's brought security, but a lot of people are worried about Nayib Bukele's strongman, you know, whatever you would like to call it. Thousands of innocent people are believed to have been arrested since the offensive began, some simply for resembling criminals or after anonymous tip-offs, while more than 100 have died behind prison bars. Moving on to Reuters, they have their take on it as well. El Salvador vows gang crackdown will go on as its citizens cheer safer streets. El Salvador's state of emergency to combat gangs, which has widespread public support despite a growing prison population and alleged allegations of human rights abuses, will be maintained until all criminals are captured, the country's security minister told Reuters. All right, moving on to, so now that we've covered the legacy media's, you know, take on it, I love this article by Bitcoin Magazine, and correct me if I'm wrong, CK, I think this was included in the article of Nayib Bukele. Is that correct? Like the print edition.
Yes, yes. I believe that, Nayib Bukele wrote an op-ed for the Orange Party issue, which has him on the cover, and he talks about what I would talk about, which is the kind of media double standard when it comes towards El Salvador.
100%. And I actually want to read a passage from that article. And I want you guys to keep it in the back of your mind, that passage, while after we take a look at the corporate media's take on it, Reuters and The Guardian, which, you know, are huge outlets. So I love this passage. We've read it to you guys many times, but it's very powerful. He goes on to say, the most vocal detractors who are afraid and pressuring us to reverse our decision are the world's most powerful elites and the people who work for or benefit from them. They used to own everything, and in a way they still do. The media, the banks, the NGOs, the international organizations, and almost all the governments and corporations in the world. And with that, of course, they also own the armies, the loans, the money supply, the credit ratings, the narrative, the propaganda, the factories, the food supply. They control international trade and international law, but their most powerful weapon is the control of truth. And they are willing to fight, lie, smear, destroy, censor, confiscate, print, and do whatever it takes to maintain and increase their control over the truth and everything and everyone. So speaking of the truth, you know, if you take a look at the data coming out of El Salvador, you can't deny that Nayib Bukele has made crazy change. He's definitely increased security. If you take a look at this data from ElSalvadorInfo.net, the murder rate hit an all-time low in 2022, down from an all-time high. So it's 1.4 homicides per 100,000 people. And in 2015, it was at 18.2. So it's decreased tremendously. You can't deny that. And not to mention the economic boom as well. This goes back to as long as this was recorded, since 1966. El Salvador in 2021 had a record GDP growth, which is enormous for a country, 10.3%. So you can't deny that there, you know, that his policy has been effective. Now, the thing where a lot of people are divided on is they think that he's been given too much power, and because he's been given too much power, that is a threat to democracy. Of course, my personal opinion is the guy's delivered results, you know, and he's extremely popular. He's one of the most popular leaders in South America. If you believe the polls, it's anywhere between 85 and 92%. Go ahead, CK.
Number one.
And I don't think that's a coincidence. Now, the reason I want to talk about this today on Simply Bitcoin is that we would like to believe, because I know what Bitcoin has done for me on an individual level, right? TK was referencing the operating system earlier on. I know what it's done to Opti's life. And CK, you know, we've known each other for quite a bit. And I'm positive to say it has improved your life, right? And that is the effect of Bitcoin, right? That is the changing of the operating system. All of a sudden, you have hope for a better future. Now, that's never been tried before when it comes to changing the operating system of an entire country. So could this be the Bitcoin effect? Could this be what happens when you adopt something like Bitcoin? Increase in security, decrease in murder and crime, and increase in economic prosperity. Could this be it? And the reason that I believe so is the corporate media's attempt at grasping at straws here, right? It's like, you can't deny they stop crime and they decrease the murder rate. You can't deny it, but at the same time, they're picking and choosing little things here and there. They try to focus on little things. Well, look, why don't they ever cover Argentina like that? And Argentina had 95% inflation. Why don't they ever cover Turkey like that? Why don't they ever cover any of these countries? Right. I see for the first time in a very long time, in decades, a small Central American country, you know, achieving prosperity, achieving peace. The populace is extremely happy with it. But there you have the corporate press still attacking it. And that's why I wanted to connect it with the op-ed from Bitcoin Magazine, because Bukele explains it right then and there how far a lot of these, you know, organizations, a lot of, to put it nicely, right, will go and what they will say in order to control the narrative, in order to control the truth. My personal opinion is I think Nayib Bukele is doing wonders for El Salvador. I think Bitcoin has played a part in it. I think we'll see that more and more as time progresses. But this is just another social attack in my mind, like without a shadow of a doubt. I don't trust these media organizations. They're some of the fastest to criticize the Bitcoin law. And then as soon as El Salvador made their debt payment, they just tried to sweep it under the rug as if it never happened, right? So anyways, that's my take. I'm obviously biased, guys, because I'm a hardcore Bitcoiner. But yeah, that's my take on that. CK, what's your take? And then we'll move on to Opti.
Yeah, I mean, as someone who believes in freedom and as someone who wants to reduce the role of the state, it's unsettling to kind of see large state complexes, you know, moving around shackled people. But at the same time, you know, for all the critics of the effect that this crackdown has, and I don't know enough information to like judge the legitimacy of the arrests that are being made. Like, I just don't have that info. But now do America. Now do the war on drugs. Guess who's the most racist institution on the planet? Well, it's American institutions. And, you know, how about you compare the prison populations of El Salvador per capita compared to the prison populations of the United States? And let's talk about all those issues legally when it comes to detaining people without just cause, without any sort of due process. And, you know, for the poorest and least advantaged in first world countries, you know, putting them in situations where they have a plea deal, where they have to plead to something that they may or may not want to do. And if they don't, they, you know, potentially could have their life ruined in prison before they even make it to court. So statists are statists, you know, at least Nayib Bukele is doing something that his people like. I'll tell you this, like our police in America aren't doing shit that anyone likes. You know, the last few protests in America have all been around incompetence of the government, whether that's in elections, whether that is in police brutality, you know, so now do the U.S. The double standard is absolutely real. And I don't trust statists at all. I don't trust members of governments at all. You know, ultimately, this mission is about creating institutions that do not operate like a monolithic government, a brutal gang that is the wielder of what's the word? They have the monopoly on violence in a certain geography. That's what a government is. So, you know, I don't trust any of them, whether it's El Salvador, whether it's United States, whether it's UK, whether it's Turkish, whether it's, you know, the whether it is what's it called? Terrorists in Afghanistan. You know, it's they all rhyme. They're all a massive conglomerate of people with a monopoly on violence. And I would love to see a fair standard that evaluates all of them. The only thing that, you know, El Salvador has going for it compared to other states in the world that are not the subject of these criticisms by the mainstream press is that, hey, the people actually like what's happening. Even the critics in the country like what's happening. And they have a leader that is trying to get them off of the fiat standard, a leader that is trying to move them towards Bitcoin. You know, people who are visiting El Salvador recently are saying, oh, not everyone accepting Bitcoin. Bitcoin doesn't have that much penetration yet. Well, hey, you know, they have a leader that's at least thinking about it. And I have a feeling in my gut that when we zoom out 20, 30 years into the future, we're going to look at Bukele's moves and see him as a visionary, see him as someone who took a chance to do what's best for his country. And maybe that doesn't look like textbook democracy. Maybe that doesn't look like what is consistently kind of the right way to do things in the current system. But he's getting results. And we live in a world where there are no results. There's just lies and false promises. So I think it's a breath of fresh air. You know, obviously, I don't want to see the state expand. Obviously, I don't want to see people imprisoned. But you can't argue with the fact that the people there want to see it. And even if they elect them against their constitution, I believe it will be a populist election rather than, you know, some strongman person. I guess the one big downside and one of the big benefits of democracy is being able to have a new leader and have that new leader come in peace. That's something that's very difficult to do. It's not something that scales typically. So I think time will tell if Bukele, who may or may not be, you know, this very impactful person in El Salvador's history, if he'll be able to, you know, let go of power. I think that is going to be a big test. But, you know, if you're just checking the results right now, they're looking pretty damn great.
Yeah, 100%. And that's and actually Opti and I were talking about that earlier, right? Is, you know, he accumulates that much power. We know, for example, that, you know, he's going to run for re-election. If my memory serves me correctly, I think that they They, of course, democratically changed the constitution for that to happen, right? Exactly. But the big question, right, is, and then we all know the saying, right, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Will he be able to hand over the keys? And in the case of the United States, you know, that was one of the things that George Washington did that was extremely important, and it set a precedent for all American presidents after the fact, right? And that's what differentiates, at least, you know, in their minds at that time, right, the difference between a president and a king, right? So is he going to be able to hand over power? We shall see. But so far, the results have been good. And I don't think that's a coincidence with a country that has adopted a Bitcoin standard. Anyways, Opti, what are your thoughts on this, bro?
Well, first, love CK's take. Absolutely nailed it. And then, you know, secondly, like context, like I don't live in the country. I don't know what it takes for them to fix their country. I visited. It was beautiful. It was amazing. So like, who am I to tell them what they should be doing? Like the people love Bukele. The people, you know, as far as I've seen, the majority of people are very happy that their country is becoming more peaceful. And it's kind of like what you guys said, you know, drastic situations may need drastic measures. And so again, like CK said, I'm not a fan of you know, what looks like authoritarian, you know, actions. But hey, like the country has been riddled with absolute terrorism for the last couple of decades. So like the results speak for themselves. And my point here is basically what we talk about all the time. You know, the fact that the corporate press is going so hard against El Salvador and Bukele is just more proof that this is probably a good thing. I'm glad that you brought up the "Don't Drink the Elite's Kool-Aid" article, because we've been saying this for a long time, that we know they have the monopoly on truth. They will lie, steal, and cheat, do whatever they can to smear Bukele, because, you know, we say it all the time. If the Bitcoin signal, the Bitcoin standard does ripple out into other parts of the world, then, you know, the facade is being broken and more countries will opt out of the fiat standard onto the Bitcoin standard. And if these are the results that you will see in your country, if you get on the Bitcoin standard, like, it's not looking too good for the Western fiat world out there. You know, the world banks of the world, like basically getting you on atrocious amounts of debt so that you basically are under their thumb. So like, you know, I don't want to be a Westerner telling a Latin American country what to do, especially one that has been terrorized by gang activity for so long. Like Bukele has results and the people seem to be okay with what he's doing. So like, who am I to say anything about what's happening? The 100%. Results speak for themselves.
TK, you want to chime in before we get to the culture?
Yeah, I mean, I guess just the last thing that I would say is like, let's look at the history of the West bringing democracy to other countries. And what have been the effects of that? And let's actually have a proper evaluation of the peace and the prosperity that was brought to these regions. You know, whether it's Latin America, whether it is the Middle East, whether it is parts of Asia. You know, I think our track record is horrible. It's like you know, let's talk about failure. Year after year after year, let's talk about the deaths that are associated not only from local people, but also our youth and our military. You know, I used to live in San Francisco, and it was widely known that a lot of people on the streets were ex-veterans, right? These are Vietnam veterans. These are the Korean War veterans. You know, how about that success, right? So, you know, I think that we're living in these dark ages. We're living in the world where these government institutions have way, way too much power. You know, I don't think that El Salvador is 100% outside of that. But at the same time, like, where are your opposing results? You know, why should these people want your system if all you've brought to them, you know, El Salvador is dollarized. All you've brought to them is pain. All you've brought to them is destitution. So I'm sure they're waiting for something different. And again, if you, you know, what's the difference between El Salvador and the U.S.'s prison system? Maybe our president isn't doing videos showing the discipline of the prisoners at our jails. But I guarantee you there's a lot of prisoners being filed around in their underwear, being bussed from one place to another. That's all happening in America, too. Just because there's not a video of it doesn't mean it's not happening. And I get it's actually happening exponentially more because our prison population is huge.
100%. I completely agree. It's time to try something new. It's time to try something new. It's clear that this method is delivering results. It's clear that he's extremely popular with his people. I don't know what the Joe Biden approval rating is, but I know for a fact it's not nearly as high as Nayib Bukele. So let's try something new. Let's make change. And I think that he is doing just that. And from what I've heard too, man, I've heard it many times. People visiting El Salvador have an amazing experience and they feel the energy and the change. There's also El Salvadorians that are returning back to their country. That's unheard of in Central America. Usually you move to the States. That's where you find economic opportunity. It's unheard of that people are moving back. So clearly there is something there. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the culture. We got to talk about the Bitcoin conference.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today.
All right, boys and girls. Well, it is the culture, and we got CK Snarks in the house, the man, the myth, the legend himself. So we're definitely going to be talking about the conference today. I did a little more deep dive on the website so that I can give everyone the little intricacies of everything you guys are doing over there. And one of the things that I saw, CK, maybe I can pull it up here while I cover it. But what is this comment you guys made that 2022, the Bitcoin conference 2022 was the most covered Bitcoin conference in the world? Do you think we're going to be seeing the same thing for 2023? I know that 2022 had a little more spotlight. We were kind of more in a bull run type of scenario. But what do you think we're still going to be seeing this kind of coverage this year? Is it going to be bigger? What's your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, well, Bitcoin price was twice as high last year around. We were looking at like $44,000 during the actual event, coming off from 60 plus K the previous November. So we definitely have kind of like a little bit of headwinds of just the tourists are leaving. It's going to be a bear market event. So still going to be the biggest Bitcoin event in the US, the biggest Bitcoin event in the world in terms of 2023. I think it'll, you know, the next 79 days and our team's hard work, that is going to greatly impact whether or not we have more media coverage. But I think it's really interesting to kind of see the trajectory of these Bitcoin conferences. Bitcoin 2019 was 2,000 people. Bitcoin 2022 was 25,000 people. And not just the most covered Bitcoin event in the world, but it was actually the most covered event in all of Miami Beach history. So the Bitcoin conference continues to break records every single year. It continues to be the physical instantiation of the actual growth within the Bitcoin ecosystem. And personally for me, I'm super excited about a bear market event because the noise goes away and we get to focus on the hardcore diehard Bitcoiners. And this is still the pilgrimage for Bitcoin. So we're going to have a ton of awesome announcements. We're going to have a ton of community builders coming together. We're trying to do everything right that we did last time, bring that back and improved. And the things that we got wrong, we are taking notes and we're trying to address that as well. So I'm really excited for this year's event. It's going to be awesome. And we can jump into some of the details.
Absolutely. So before Opti, you jump in, that question came to my mind. CK, one of the things that I always get asked from people is they're looking to get a job in Bitcoin. And I always tell them, like, the Bitcoin conference is one of the best opportunities to at least, you know, get to know the Bitcoin company landscape, get to meet a lot of these, you know, shake hands, which I think the in-person you can't replace in-person interaction, right? So could you talk a little bit about that? Is the Bitcoin conference an opportunity if you want to work in the space to mingle, to network?
Yeah. So, hey, real quick, Opti, go to more and click on sponsors. Yeah, right there. So, we have like literally hundreds of conversations going on with all of the biggest companies in the space. We already have over 100 sponsors of, you know, the Bitcoin conference of varying degrees. And, you know, the people, the companies that are not listed here, at the very least, they have executives and representatives in attendance. So this event is going to be the ultimate gathering of Bitcoiners and the Bitcoin ecosystem. If you want to get a job in the space, the best way to do so is to meet people in person, shake their hands, show that you're a real person, and network. And not only is the Bitcoin conference the best place to get a job in the space, but if you're a builder, if you are a venture capitalist, if you're someone who's trying to, you know, create something new, this is the place to do it. I just want to talk about some companies that formed at previous Bitcoin conferences. Swan Bitcoin, which is the presenting sponsor of this, they started at Bitcoin 2019. We got Albi. We got, I mean, these are just Nunchuck. These are just winners of our pitch day competition. This is not this is not even, you know, the conversations that are just kind of happening organically at the event. Fedi is one of the hottest, newest startups in the space that is like really taking the space by storm and getting Bitcoiners really excited by bringing new technology. That started at Bitcoin 2022. Literally, Matt Odell brought people together, talked about this idea of Fedimint. And then all of a sudden, Fedi, the first venture-backed company building out the technology, got started. So again, the stories here are endless. My personal experience, I got a job. I got started at BTC Inc., the company behind Bitcoin Magazine and the Bitcoin Conference in 2018, going to not even a Bitcoin conference, a shitcoin conference. But conferences are the place to meet and interact with the Bitcoin ecosystem. And there is no better return on investment if you're trying to go full time in this space than going to the Bitcoin conference.
Amen, brother. Opti.
Let's go, man. Well, I'm kind of just interested, CK, who are you most excited to see on stage? What speaker do you want to go? Wait, what speaker are you not going to miss? Well, I know you're busy. Let's be honest. You're going to try to get them all. But you, when you work in the conference, I've seen you guys. You guys are busting ass and you guys are busy the whole time.
No, totally. And Miami Beach Convention Center is a big place. So I definitely get my steps in. Right there, front and center, Mr. Arthur Hayes. I actually wrote an article back in 2021, kind of going through what I thought was so special about BitMEX when they were being attacked by the U.S. government. Something that was really interesting. Usually when the U.S. government sanctions a company, withdrawals get frozen. Well, guess what? Withdrawals were never frozen at BitMEX because BitMEX was 100% built on Bitcoin. I truly believe that Arthur Hayes is a visionary, someone who is not only a Chad, but someone who is really in tune with what it is like to build a censorship-resistant, sovereign business. And we are setting up an incredible fireside chat with him. And I'm not going to tease the exact details of who's going to be interviewing him, but the person is an industry darling. So it's going to be an amazing conversation. I'm definitely going to have my, I'm definitely going to be taking advantage of my front row seat and taking a sneak peek at that. But the other element, and we can't talk about any of this stuff because it's not going to be announced until it's actually happening, but it is the industry announcements at the event. One of my fondest memories was at Bitcoin 2021, Strike and Jack Mahlers hit us up literally days before the event, and they're like, hey, we got something big. We need 15 minutes. And we're like, we don't have 15 minutes. They're like, no, you're going to make 15 minutes because it is so big. And the last moments of the event, I was sitting right there in the front row, and I have just the most incredible photos of Jack Mahlers and Nayib Bukele making the announcement that Bitcoin was going to become legal tender in El Salvador. So it's amazing to have these industry players making history on our stage. And yeah, I'm just so excited. And the speakers that you see right now, they're incredible. There's many, many more to come, many, many more to be announced. And very soon that agenda tab is going to start getting populated with some really exciting content. So I'm excited.
Well, you hit my two next questions. One was any more secret announcements, but we're not going to make you, we're not going to force CK to drop the sauce on us. And the next one was I saw on your agenda, do you have a date when the conference program is going to drop?
Yeah, so this is always the hardest part. We don't want to drop the agenda until it's like 80, 90% baked. I think we're at like 15% right now. So my man, Alex McShane and Nolan Bowerly, and with a little bit of help from Odell, they're really working through trying to come up with all of those different elements, negotiating with different industry participants on how they can make massive Bitcoin announcements. And then when that is, you know, 85% baked, hopefully, you know, 30, 40 days out. So in a month or so, we'll be able to release those details.
Let's go. A month. All right, guys, you already know, a month. And then also, I saw for the people out there, look up here at the top, guys. Ticket prices increase in 10 days. Can you sneak out how much more they're going to get expensive, CK? Or just, you know, buy them now, guys. Buy them now.
They always go up by the same cadence. So that's $100 for the GA ticket, $100 for the industry day ticket, and then like $500 for the whale ticket. So, you know, at this point, tickets definitely are not cheap. If you need financial aid, DM us. Obviously, you can save 10% off when you use code SIMPLY and help support the Simply Bitcoin boys. But yeah, I mean, these tickets are worth every penny. If I told you, hey, spend $700 and get your dream job in Bitcoin, I would do that in a heartbeat if I wasn't already working in this space. So it's definitely, definitely worth it. We're always pushing out new promotions. And here is the key. If you are on top of your shit, you could have gotten a Bitcoin conference ticket for $200. We will be doing a pre-sale for Bitcoin 2024 at the end of the Bitcoin conference. So not only should you get your Bitcoin conference ticket today before prices go up, but when Bitcoin 2023 is over, you should take advantage of the pre-sale, because a lot of people did. Thousands of Bitcoiners purchased tickets for under $250 to come to Bitcoin 2023. And all it took from them is a little bit of wanting to commit early, which of course is a virtue in Bitcoin, is, you know, have conviction and commit early.
100%.
100%. I love it. One last question. One last question, then Nico can jump in. Are you guys still taking people like, I don't know, volunteers, people wanting to get their artwork in the gallery, you know, maybe some vendors? Like, is it still open, or is this all, you know, closed off because it's close?
All of the above. So affiliates, we're still trying to take on new affiliates. So people who want to try to help people save money and make a little bit of commission selling Bitcoin conference tickets, we are definitely still accepting affiliates. In terms of volunteers, it's getting tight, but we're always looking for quality on the volunteer side, quality over quantity. So if you're a diehard Bitcoiner and you want to go there without having to pay for a ticket, we have an amazing volunteer program, and it's amazing to kind of see the conference getting built from the inside. And then I want to point out, host a Bitcoin Week event. So I know that Swan and y'all are going to be busy hosting a lot of different events in Miami for the conference. We want to bring together all of the Bitcoin only events that are going to be happening, have them all listed on our website. So if you want to plan an event, highly encourage you to do so. Submit your event to us and we will list it on our Bitcoin Week page, and we'll try to drive as many Bitcoiners there as possible. One of the best things about the Bitcoin conference is the entire week. So, you know, pretty much May 15th through the end of the week, May 20th, it's going to be Bitcoin takeover all Miami Beach. And Miami Beach is not that big of a place. So we are truly going to be taking over every restaurant, every hotel, every square inch of that place is going to be Bitcoin everything. And it's just going to be nonstop Bitcoin content, nonstop Bitcoin hangs. It really is a really special environment, and it's awesome to take over Miami like we do.
Miami Beach is going to be painted orange. Really excited. I'm really looking forward to it. This is the biggest Bitcoin event of the year. I can't emphasize that enough. Once again, guys, you can use promo code SIMPLY, get a big discount on your tickets. Anyways, everybody, the fan favorite, the meme review. Let's do it.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by Kaboom Racks. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is Kaboom Racks. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRacks. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. Kaboom Racks.
Kaboom.
All right, guys.
Kaboom.
All right. All right, Kaboom Racks. All right, I know I had to do an audible on yesterday's show for the memes, but today I added a few extra memes for you guys so we can make this a little longer than usual. We'll make Nico sweat live on air. Anyways, you already know this is the meme review. This is your favorite portion of the show. You watch all the news just to get to the memes. I know you guys out there. Anyways, as we tell you every single day, you are in an information war. You guys are the frontline soldiers. Continue to get the calls of actions. Continue to put truth in art. Continue to ridicule the corporate press via memes. Anyways, what's Nico say? Tweets are the bullets, memes are the artillery, and you are on the front lines. So, first and foremost, we got at Maxi's Club 319. If you know, you know. And we got FUD Media, and he goes, maximalists are toxic. And we got a Bitcoin Max, and he goes, me? And he goes, yes, you. And he goes, okay, I'm toxic. And then we got Bitcoin Maxis over here. We are toxic maximalists. And then we got the FUD Media. You guys are psychopaths. And then the Bitcoin Maxi. Okay, super Maxi toxic psychopaths. If you know, you know, we take all the bad words you want to call us, and we make them into virtues. And we meme ourselves into greatness. Anyways, this next one. Shouts out to TC at Meditation Man on Twitter. He hit me in the DMs, and I think he gave this to me like last week when we were talking about Augustus, and I was gonna put on the Monday show, but we got busy and we got Augustus Carson over here, and it's a quote: the soul of money is trust. Central banks must maintain the trust of the public. And then the trust, if you can see, is this little itty bitty button keeping his jacket on. Savage. Okay. All right. This next one. Shouts out to Jose S. Bam on Twitter. And he goes, meme checkpoint, comrades, share our memes or get shot at the checkpoint. And he goes, when a small business owner doesn't accept Bitcoin. And if you know this movie, you already know it's one of my favorites. He goes, me, be a lot cooler if you did, man. All right. This next one. Shouts out to Ghost Becca. And she goes, good morning. No keys, no coin. And we got this little penguin with a hula hoop, and it goes, buys Bitcoin. And then the little penguin's hula hooping goes, is happy. And then the hula hoop stops falling, keeps Bitcoin on exchange. And then the hula hoop is on the ground and goes, owns a Bitcoin IOU. Guys, if you are not taking your Bitcoin into self-custody under private keys that you control, you are basically owning a Bitcoin IOU. Do not get rug pulled and take your Bitcoin off the exchanges into wallets that you control. This next one, shouts out to Alan B. Watts. Actually, he went super hard in the last couple of days, so I actually put two of his memes because they're about the same idea. So we have this very, very, you know, extra think boy, crypto bro over here goes, the crypto industry needs regulatory clarity. And then we got the Bitcoin Chad with laser eyes. He goes, everything other than Bitcoin is a security. And then we got the crying Mojack. No, not like that. And then on the same vein, we got the classic astronaut. Wait, everything except Bitcoin is a security? Laser-eyed astronaut always has been. Guys, we are not endorsing what the government is telling you guys to do. We're just telling you that we've been right this whole time. Everything but Bitcoin is a security. Crypto influencers, alts are not. Oh, this is a Bitcoin BTC therapist. Crypto influencers, alts are not securities. SEC. If it's not Bitcoin, it's a security. Me, as I forget what this guy's name is from The Office, but me just smiling through.
It's Jim.
Jim, yeah, there you go. See, I'm so bad with popular culture. He's just smiling through the window. Yes, yes, we've told you. And look,
Opti, Nico, you're just optimizing for Bitcoin culture. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Literally, I've hit the trash button, garbage button. Is it not Bitcoin culture?
So shout out to BTC therapist because we've been working together. He's been throwing me some memes so I could post to my account some original memes. But the creator is BTC therapist. So shout out to him.
Therapist on here twice. I didn't even see the watermark. I was wondering where Nico was getting these memes from. I'm like, Nico is putting his hat in the meme game now. Okay, anything. Anyways, again, SEC. Everything's a security. Except Bitcoin, Coinbase, that one picture of the semi truck with a huge storage bed, and it's literally all the shit coins at Coinbase. they're getting wrecked right now. Guys, we've been saying it for a minute. I would not want to be holding shit coins in this moment. So stay Bitcoin only. It is Bitcoin.
Wait. It is Bitcoin. Do we need dramatic music? Is it time? Yes, it's time.
I think it's time. Or wait, do you do that for anyway.
There we go.
Mine is this sticker. Told you I still have a sticker pack, and it's I told you so Bitcoin logo since 2009. We've been telling you that shitcoins aren't securities. I told you so.
All right, I'm going to give it Topo Chico. If you know, you know. What about you, CK?
Yeah, no, I got this ghoul. The ghoul is the Bitcoiners telling you they were right this whole time.
Always have been.
Oh, the ghoul. All right. Everybody, before we read some of the live chats, I want to give a shout out to our awesome clothing sponsor, RepresentLTD.com. There we go. Opti and I wear the merch every single day. Opti's wearing the Bitcoin hat. I'm wearing the classic blue sweater. You can get it all at RepresentLTD.com, and you can use the promo code simply-bitcoin. Get a big discount on RepresentLTD.com. All right. Let's check out some of the live chat, Opti.
I don't think I can say Sellies, but if you're watching, shouts out
to
you, Sellies.
No. Bad Opti. Okay. Pravon, I give the memes 37 sats in ice cold storage. All right.
Let's go. Nice. 37 sats is generational wealth, guys.
Elaine, I give the memes the spread of Bitcoin legal tender across Central and South America. See, that's what the music is for. Very nice. All right. Next one. Igor, I give the memes a quote. We are too stupid to be bullish enough. Viral guerrilla marketing campaign.
Let's go.
All right. Last one. And then we got the buzzer. Jasmina, I give the meme 6 Wendy French toast sticks. Buzzer.
Sounds fiat.
Yeah. Oof. You know, CK is a big fan of the kitchen. So I could see that. Anyways, guys, check out Simply Bitcoin's Telegram group. Shout out to Darthcoin. He holds it down. It's a party in there. Very, very lively. It's absolutely free. Go to www.t.me/SimplyBitcoinTV. And I also want to give a very special shout out to our awesome guest, CK. Thank you so much for joining us today, man. Really appreciate it. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you online?
So I'm on Twitter at CK_Snarks, and I'm on Noster at CK. I wish I could tell you my NPub, but you can probably find me on Domus. Go to my Twitter account, and my NPub is listed right on there as well. So, you know, Twitter is on the way out. Open source Noster is on the way in, and you got to love it. Built by Bitcoiners.
Awesome, man. And of course, guys, check out the Bitcoin conference, Bitcoin 2023. It's coming up. Promo code simply. Get 10% off the tickets. Anyway, CK, thank you so much for joining us today. Guys, that was another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. If you enjoyed it, smash that like button. Consider subscribing if you feel like we provided you value. And the number one thing you could do to spread the peaceful revolution is share this content. In fact, share all Bitcoin content. Share it far and wide. Hand out those orange pills. Anyways, we love you all. We'll see you tomorrow for a brand new episode. Simply Bitcoin Live.
Bitcoin space by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. If you are not a Bitcoiner, I very much hope you're asking about Bitcoin because I might filter you out. Sorry, not sorry. Anyways,
What's Gucci? What's Gucci?
Yo. What's up, dude? We got Bikingo in the audience. I say it.
Bikingo. Oye, coño.
All right, but seriously, dude, what a crazy roller coaster ride. I don't know what else to say, man. This whole thing with Nayib Bukele, everything going on.